Right, so we're on Yud Chet Amud Beit, right in the middle. Gufa by Rava. Again, general discussion over this chapter. Really, this entire chapter has been centered around the concept of tsroros, the stones sort of shooting out from an animal as it walks along, right? And the fact that that is half damages, according to the Rabbanon. Sumchus says that's full damages. That's the core debate that on which we sort of begin everything. And then, as a springboard from there, we've started to talk about all sorts of other things. So over here, our discussion centers around whether that can turn into muad. So whether if that, although that's half damages, right, we're going to follow the opinion of the Rabbonin. Excuse me, Yochid V'Rabim, Halachic Harabim, would generally follow the majority opinion. So again, Sumchus is the Da'at Yachid over here, right? The unique opinion. So we're not going to follow that opinion. So the majority opinion is that you pay half damages in a case where the animal shoots out the stones. But let's say it happens a few times. Let's say animal regularly does that. So does that become muad, right? As we have seem to have in other contexts. So that's what we're discussing. And specifically, we're trying to bring proofs for that idea. So again, whether or not we end up... as I was saying briefly just before I turned on the recording in the intro, that a lot of this Gemara is about sort of trying to follow the flow, which can be a little bit of a challenge, but it's really about, and I think if I remember correctly, last time we had a lot of discussion and maybe didn't cover as much ground. To me, it was actually quite helpful though, because again, what the Gemara is doing and the way that Gemara works is about... It is about the sort of back and forth and the flow and trying to understand, trying to sort of get our head around the concepts by discussing and debating, it can be a bit challenging to dip in and out as we are doing, but if we can try and hopefully get our elements together, then I think it will be helpful. So actually, I started to write up some of the key opinions that we've got to hold in our hand. I didn't get so far, but maybe if I can get a bit further this week, I'll try and send that out as well, so that we just have like a list of who says what. Because again, a lot of the time the Gemara will say, "Oh yeah, well this is just following Rabbi Lezer." You have to remember who's Rabbi Lezer, where is Rabbi Lezer, what does he say? You know, where exactly is it referencing? So those sorts of things. Okay, either way. So let's jump in. Gufa bo'i rova. So Robert asks as follows. Gufa always takes us back. Okay, so we've been talking about something else. Gufa means we're returning now to an earlier discussion, to what we talked about. Boti Rova, Robert had the following question. Yesh ha'ada'a litzroros, o ein ha'ada'a litzroros. Can tzroros ever become muad? Right, that root ha'ada'a, again, the root of muad, or sharing the same root. Can it ever become muad? And for the purposes here, it's very interesting because muad... The concept of muad, when it comes to the classic concept of muad, you know, an animal that gores three times in a row, we haven't really got to those Gemaras yet, although they are coming relatively soon. That might be something which is, you know, has its own unique reasons for it. But here the Gemara, or sometimes the Gemara seems to be using the word muad to interchangeably with nezek shalem, meaning you're paying full damages. And at other times it seems to be sort of distinguishing and we're using muad as a very specific thing. So but certainly here to me it seems like it's just talking about full damages, right? The point is, do we upgrade tzroros to pay full damages after it's happened a few times, right? Your animal walks along the street and pays for half damages a couple of times, so does it pay full damages after that? Okay. So that is the question of the Gemara. So let's proof number one. It clarifies the question further. Do we say, in hadol tzroros, lekeren medaminan le, do we compare it? Do we say it's similar to keren, right? I.e. which does get upgraded to full damages. O Dilma told her the regelhu. No, it stays as a derivative of the category of regel, right? I.e. similar to an animal stepping on something as it walks along. This is just one step removed from that. So it's not that it stepped on it, it's just that something shot out while it was walking. And therefore it's kaderech halichosa, right, is the phrase that we use, as it's walking. That seems to be the key part with regel. And therefore, since it's a tolda the regel, it would stay the same. So that's the clarification of the question. No, I think that's just, I think it's, I've read that as just explaining the question, basically. Okay. It's just sort of describing the two sides of why you would why you would say it does become mood or not.
Giving the two options.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just explaining yesh adolatzeres, ein adolatzeres. Putting a bit more flesh on the bone. Toshima. So now we have our first proof. Hidus eino muad. So we've had this brisa briefly. Hidus, let's say the animal is dancing around, right? And while it's dancing around, again, so over here, it means it doesn't mean muad, it means it's done it three times, I'm pretty sure. I think it means muad, i.e. it's paying full damages. That's what it means, right? It doesn't mean it's happened a number of times. So hidus eino muad, v'yeshomrim harizem muad. So if the animal is dancing around, then it pays half damages. Eino muad. V'yeshomrim harizem muad. So we have this debate, i.e. seemingly, right? Before our Gemara does its own interpretation, right? If you're just talking about the same type of case, you might say the question is whether this is a normal thing for the animal to do, right? For the animal to dance around. So that's not the way the Gemara goes, right? That's not the way the Gemara goes. So the Gemara now tries to interpret this as a proof. Maybe you could say, right? V'yesharim harizem muad. Hidus salka daitach, right? What do you mean hidus? Just danced around. So ela hidus v'hitis. It can't mean that it just danced around and caused damage in that way. It means hidus v'hitis. While the animal was dancing around, right, while it was moving in an unusual manner, it's not holich kadarko, it's not just walking as normal, but it's, you know, erratically moving. And while it's doing that, then hidus vehitis, then something shoots out from the animal, and that causes damage. So that is what this Brisa is talking about. That's the machlokas that it's talking about. My love. Isn't this a proof, right? That this is surely what the debate is. The point is, this has happened now three times, right? And the Bryce is asking or presenting two opinions. According to one opinion, it's muad, it's ain't a muad. According to the other opinion, it is muad, right? So this seems to be a proof that it seems to be a proof that there's a machlokas, right? That there's a debate as to whether yesh hadar litzaros, ain't hadar litzaros. This is the same thing. Over hokam ifligi mar sovar, i.e. the second opinion. Says yesh ha'ado'o, right? Second opinion, i.e. the one that says you pay full damages, right? We've now set up the case that what the brisa really means is that this animal has danced around and something has shot out three times, and so clearly the second opinion believes yesh ha'ado'o, it can turn into muad, and that's why you're paying full damages. And the Tanakama, the first opinion, says no, you can't. There's no. I can't do that. So that's the proof. That's the attempted proof. So the Gemara responds. Oh, yeah. Umar Sovar Ein Hado. Look, Gemara says that's one way you could interpret it, but it's not what we call Mukhrach. It's not that's not a guaranteed proof, and therefore we're going to reject it. Right? We're going to reject it. Look, Bechad Zimna. Could be talking about one time. Right? This is the first time the animal has ever done it. Ubi Plukta. This is simply a reiteration, a rephrasing of the same debate that we've had all the way through, i.e. between Simchas and the Rabbanon. Simchas and the Rabbanon have this debate even on the first time an animal shoots out stones while it's walking, right? Any case of Tzoros. So that's simply what it's talking about. You don't need to interpret this brisa as referring to happen three times. Maybe it's just talking about the first time, and it's going back to the age-old debate that we've had right from the beginning. Okay, so everybody followed. So we attempted the proof, and we've knocked it down. That's not going to work for us. We're going to have that a couple of times. Toshima, okay. Toshima, we're going to bring another proof. Behema shehitila gelolim. We've had similar cases to this actually in the past, and again a lot of interesting stuff that comes out of this. Behema shehitila gelolim leisa. Okay, so an animal that. So an animal that relieves itself le'isa on dough. Okay, on dough. So again, why was the dough on the floor? Maybe the dough wasn't on the floor. Maybe it was on the counter and the cat was walking around on the counter. Whatever it was, doesn't matter the case. The point is that that someone's animal has now ruined the dough, right? Ruined this dough. And the question is, does the owner of the animal have to pay, right? And if they do, how much do they have to pay? So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Meshalem Nezek Shalim. Rabbi Yehuda says pay full damages. V'Rabbi Elozar Omer Chatzin Nezek. So this particular case, we have this debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elozar. So again, we're going to set up that maybe this is the same debate. Rabbi Yehuda says You pay full damages. The animal should pay full damages. Rabbi Loza Omer Chatzi Nezek. My love, de'ovad t'losas, kagon de'ovad t'losas zimni, right? Aren't we talking about a case where this happened three times, right? Why would we want that to be true? Why would we, so presumably the reason why we're trying that in the first place is because we've already had this machlokes sumchas in the Rabbanon. So why are we restating it in other ways? So we're trying to push it into another corner, but I don't know. Maybe that's why. Either way. Aren't we talking about a case where it's happened three times over Hakam Iflagi, right? I.e., the animal has now caused damage to this doe three times, or not this particular doe, right? But the animal has managed to relieve itself on doe a few times over Hakam Iflagi, and this is the exact same debate that we've always had. Mar Sovar, i.e., Rabbi Yehuda, right? So he's of the opinion you pay full damages. Sovar Yesha Adol Litzroros, right? See, it seems to say that once it's happened a few times, that's now why it's paying full damages. That's now why the animal's, the animal, why the owner of the animal is paying full damages. Umar Sovar and Rabbi Lozer is of the opinion Ein ha'ada'a, right? Since that's why you're paying half damages, i.e., it always stays the same. It remains as this tolda de regel, this derivative of damages that's done in a normal, well, somewhat normal way, right? Soros obviously is a derivative of that, slightly less normal. So the Gemara responds again. Similar response once again, but we're going to have a slight difference as we go forward. Bechad zimna, again, we're talking about one first time, doesn't have to be the third time, we can say it's referring to the first time. Uva plugta desumchas verabonon kamiflegi. Again, we're coming back to the same thing, it's just another restating of the same debate. So this is where I think where the Gemara is taking it a little bit differently. Again, why we have a slightly what looks like the same type of proof. Now the Gemara is going to point out that actually it's a little bit different. Why are we having the same machlokes stated over and over and over again with the same, with just different characters, different people? If we have this as machlokes rabbanon and sumchos, then state it that way, right? I.e., why didn't this is what the Gemara? Excuse me, sorry. I'm jumping ahead. That's the next stage of the Gemara. V'homa shunahu is saying, isn't this an unusual thing to do, right? I.e., it's not, you can never say this is told of the regel. When you have the machlokes between the Rabbanon and the Sumchos is what? Is when an animal is walking along in a normal fashion, right? The animal is walking along as it would, and the stones shoot out and cause damage. Over here, v'homa shunahu. It's a strange thing. Why is this animal's not doing it in a normal way? It's not like the animal is walking along and happens to be, as it's going along in a normal fashion across the countertop, it just happens to relieve itself over the dough three times. So I said, no, that's clearly not something that's usual. That sounds much more like Karen. That sounds much more like intentional damage, right? Intentional damage. And if that's the case, then it does fit much more neatly into the category of Keren, and therefore that's what we should be looking at, right? That doesn't really seem to make sense. As Gemara said, the dochik le almo. We must be talking about a case where the animal is stuck somewhat, right? It's stuck. Maybe it's unable to get out. I don't know. The doe is in a small warehouse, maybe, or something. It's been put in a cut. You know, the animal's ended up in a cupboard or something with the doe or whatever it is. The point is, it's in a small space, very small area. Therefore, it doesn't really have anywhere to go, and that's why it's causing damage to this doe, and therefore that's why it's normal. And again, that's why we're judging this based on the category of regel rather than the category of keren, right? Because again, it's something which is I don't like using the word normal. I think we're using it's a difficult term to define. But the point is, it's doing something as it moves, right? In its normal fashion, or as in its normal path. Again, I guess we can need to keep coming back to kederech halichosa is the phrase that we used earlier, right? As it walks along, so similar to that type of thing. As it's walking along, it's in a pattern that one would expect, a somewhat expected pattern. Okay, so fine. So now the Gemara really asks why we have this debate altogether, right? Why do we have this Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Loza altogether? If it's just the same thing as Sumchas and the Rabbanon, then we just, you know, is there any difference? Velema Rabbi Yehuda halacha kesumchas, velema Rabbi Loza halacha kerabbanon. So if they're just simply restating what they said in the past, so just say that Rabbi Yehuda it follows the opinion of Simchus. Rabbi Elazar follows the opinion of the Rabbanon. Why do you need to have this? Why do we need to come up with a new case, right? Just say they do it in any case, right? You know, any animals walking along, shoot out stones. So Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, follows the opinion of Simchus. Rabbi Elazar follows the opinion of the Rabbanon, right? So you don't need to restyle it in a different way. So gelolim, it's the richale. The Gemara says, no, this is actually adding something, right? This is a further chiddush. There's something unexpected, or we can learn something extra from this phraseology, from the way that we're phrasing this case. Maybe not about the debate itself, but maybe something different, something min hatzad, something which is not as obvious from the beginning. Gelolim it's the richale. The reason we're teaching it from this is because actually it's got an added element which we're learning from over here. Salka daita chamina. I might have thought, I wouldn't necessarily have assumed that just because Rabbi Yehuda follows the opinion of Simchus and Rabbi Elazar follows the opinion of the Rabbanon, that they would have said the same thing in this particular case of the animal relieving itself. Why? Salka daita chamina. I might have thought, hoel ubasar gufei gririn. Since we're talking about the animal relieving itself, that is linked maybe more directly to its body, right? Then kegufei domi, it might have been considered like its body exactly, kamash malon. And therefore the Gemara says, no, actually that's not the case. We still have this same debate. What does that mean? It might have been linked to his body. How does that make a difference, right? So again, let's just remember the categories. We wouldn't have put this as a tsroros category, as the stones shooting out, which is a derivative of regel. We'd have made this regel itself, right? We'd have said it was not, rather than being similar to an animal shooting out stones and causing damage, we'd have said it was like an animal walking along and trampling and causing, not trampling, but causing damage as it walks, right? We'd have said it was part of that. Because there's a more direct link. It's less indirect. It's more direct. Everybody follow that point? I think it's quite a key point. So this reminds me of a debate that we had a little bit earlier, actually. In fact, I have a feeling it was like right at the beginning. I couldn't actually find it earlier. But I'm pretty sure we had a case very, very early of what we called tin for peros lahana asan. It might have been... So tin for peros lahana asan we had a while ago, where basically the animal, we talked about an animal causing damage to fruits for its own benefit, right? Where it caused damage to fruit for its own benefit. So there we wanted to, what was that case? Tin for peros lahana asan, things, types of damage which the animal gets benefit from, usually we put that in the category of shein, right? Put that in the category of shein, like eating. Right, just as you eat something, you get benefit from it. That's the sort of category that we would put in. So over there, we had a debate. I remember what exactly was that case. So Rashi had said that the animal was rolling around in the fruit, and that's how it was getting benefit from it. Right, tinfa literally means it made them dirty. Right, made the fruits dirty for its own benefit. So Rashi said it meant it was rolling around, it was like scratching its back on the fruit, and therefore that's the benefit it was getting, and that's what the Gemara was talking about. But there was another opinion there which talked about tin for peris lahana asan means literally that the animal had relieved itself right on the fruit, that it was let's say a bush or whatever, strawberries or something, and the animal had relieved itself and caused damage that way, and that was the benefit it was getting, right? So over here you have a similar type of thing. So if you look in Rashi's not focusing on the benefit element over here. Rashi, this almost sounds like a proof for Rashi, this Gemara, because what this Gemara sounds like is that you almost need in order for an animal relieving itself to be considered, you know, a benefit, needs to be done with its body itself, right? It needs to be done something that's much closer to its body. So the second last line of the second last line, Rashi, towards the end of the second last line, says ubasar gufa gririn, right? You follow the, i.e., relieving itself, maybe more connected to the body, and therefore that's why it would be considered regel. Dibagufa because it was connected or weighing on the body, literally, right? It's sort of it's linked to the body, so it's as though it's part of the body, kamash malan, and therefore but the Gemara ends off basically saying that that's not the case. But what it does sound like to me, a little bit, it sounds a little bit like this Rashi from earlier, because it's almost saying that it needs to be connected to the body, it needs to be considered, you know, doing an action with its body itself, i.e., if an animal is getting benefit, like the other opinion, different to Rashi, if the animal is getting benefit with something that's leaving its body, that's not connected to its body, that's less direct, then that's just not going to, it's not going to fit the bill, right? It's not going to fit the bill. To me, it sounds a little bit like this Gemara saying the same thing, that you might have connected it, you might have said relieving itself is the same thing as its body, as part of its body. Kamash Malan, right, conclusion of the Gemara is actually that's not the case, right? That it doesn't, it still is considered disconnected, and therefore that's the debate between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lazar, again linking back to the debate between Sumchas and Rabban. Did everybody follow that? Was a little throwback to something that we'd done, little throwback to something that we'd seen in the past. Okay, so we've had two proofs. Right, we had two proofs, relatively similar proofs, but the point over here of the style, let's say, that the Gemara is going with is attempting to say that each of these cases where an animal has caused damage, and we have half damages and full damages, the Gemara attempts to say that it's happened three times, and that's why we're talking about Mu'ad, or we're questioning whether Mu'ad exists. And the Gemara actually concludes and says, no, we're really talking about one time, and therefore we're falling back to our age-old debate between the Rabbanan and Sumchas, the same thing we've had since the beginning of the chapter. Okay, so we're going to make another attempt now. Okay, questions or comments? No. Okay, Tashma. Tashma. So now proof number three, or attempted proof number three. The Tani Rami Bar Yechezkel, Rami Bar Yechezkel taught as follows. Again, another brisa. Tarnagel Shehoshit Rosho Le'aver Klei Zechuchis. V'tokabo, right, and made a tekiya, right, made a sound. Tekiya, right, a shofar sound. So it puts its head into shahushit rosha le'avir klei zechuchis, the air of a glass jar or whatever. I sort of picture it like a what do they call it, a bell, yeah, like an hourglass bell sort of type thing, but made of glass. Yeah, so it's inside. It's managed to put its head inside. It could be anything. I guess you could do it the other way around. Puts its head inside a vase or something, you know, dips its head inside, makes a large sound, right, makes a big noise, tokabo, v'shovro, and through that noise, right, it breaks it, mashalim nezek shalim, you pay full damages. Okay, so your animal shrieks inside of this utensil, whatever it might be, and that seems to break it, then you pay full damages. So we're talking about a tarnagal over here, a cockerel or a chicken. Omer of Yosef, Omri Beirav. So they say as follows: Omri, the Omer of Yosef, Omri Beirav, Sus Shetzonaf, Vachamur Shenoar, Vashiber Esakelim. Right, so again, similar cases. Let's say a horse made a horse neighed, or a donkey brayed, right? They made noise, basically, and they broke utensils. Meshalem chatzi nezek, right? So we have, this is not in the same braisa, but we have elsewhere. So we have Rami Bar Yechezkel seemingly in one place talks about a chicken breaking a utensil by shrieking, by making noise. And we have elsewhere Rav Yosef saying in the name of Bei Rav, right, literally the Bet Midrash of Rav, Rav's Bet Midrash, i.e. his students who studied with him. So he says in the name of that Bet Midrash, right, that institution, that a donkey or a horse which break a utensil by making noise, they only pay half damages. So one case we seem to have, or not just one, one opinion seems to be that you pay full damages, one opinion seems to be that you pay half damages. Okay, Mishalim Chatzin Nezek. My love, So again, the Gemara attempts to say the same thing. Maybe this is what the debate is centers around, right? The debate centers around that they've done it three times, that they've done it three times each time, okay? That this, that these are animals who have shrieked and caused damage in the past. My love could go into Ovid to Los Azimni. They've done it three times. Uber Hakam, if we get again, this is the exact debate. Mar Sovar Romi Bar Yecheskel is of the opinion that Yesh Ha'adah, i.e., now that it's three times, you're paying full damages because you've done it a few times already before. Umar Sovar and the Beis Medrash of Rav are saying Ein Ha'adah, right? You're still paying half damages because it doesn't matter. It's still this same case of throws. So the Gemara again reject that. No, no good. We're not happy with that we're not happy with this as a proof. Lo bechad zimna. Again, we just come back to the same thing. Maybe it could still be one. Could still be the first time. Uvi plug the sumchos v'rabbanon komi fligi. Right. Again, we're coming back to the same debate between sumchos and the rabbanon. V'homa shunahu. Again, similar question to what we had before. Isn't it unusual for an animal to put its head inside of a utensil and make a racket, right? And suddenly, cry out while it's doing that. Isn't that an unusual thing? And if that's the case, then it's not regel, it's keren, right? Unusual damages make it look like a little bit intentional. If they're unusual, they look a little bit intentional. Then, again, like an animal goring, it's going for something which you wouldn't expect it to. Then that's going to be keren, in which case, yeah, you aren't going to follow the same rules of muad, etc. That's not going to. So de'isbe bizrani, right? So the Gemara says no. It's not talking about there was food inside. There were seeds inside. There was something inside the utensil. That's why the animal was putting its head in there. Right? Didn't put its head in there just to make a racket. Putting its head in there to actually get some food. Right? There's only.
The whole thing seems. Why would you not just conclude that the argument is about the difference between a chicken or a horse and a? They're not comparing the same animals.
Why would you assume that?
No, well, I'm saying why wouldn't you? Why would you assume?
Because there's no difference. Because I don't.
And one says specifically that he's put his head inside a vessel, and the other one doesn't say that. It just says they make a noise. It doesn't say anything about putting.
Okay, but still, the core.
You just don't seem to be comparing like with like at all. So why would you? Why would you not say these are just not the same thing?
What's the difference? Because you've got to define what
the
difference is.
Not the same animals. You might say that one is specifically talking about chickens, and the other.
Why
one
though? You have to have a reason to distinguish.
Because he said that. I'm going just by the words they use. One says.
No, but when an animal when you can find it's like whenever you have distinctions have to be meaningful in order to distinguish, right? You say I had a crash, right, and the police expected me to pay, right, and that happened in London. So I understand that they made me pay in London. When I went to Manchester and I had another crash, I was very surprised that they wanted me to pay because it was in Manchester. One was in London, one was in Manchester. That's very nice, one was in London. Why would you expect that to be a difference? I'm just saying. So you have an animal. One animal makes a noise and breaks a utensil. The other animal makes a noise and breaks a utensil. Okay, it's one animal, it's another animal. But the fact is, my animal made a noise and broke a utensil. Unless we can cut... Maybe you're right, but I mean, that's... The reason I think the Gemara is not making that distinction is because I think this is what my rabbi used to say, or maybe it's a famous phrase. I don't know. I remember my rabbi used to refer to it as a distinction without a difference, or the other way around, a difference without a distinction, or whatever it was. His point was that, like, yeah, obviously, in one case, one day I was wearing a blue shirt, one day I was wearing a white shirt, but that's not a meaningful difference in this particular case. And animals causing damage by making a noise, right? If we can come up with a significant difference, then maybe it's a good question.
Well, and the fact that one doesn't mention putting their head inside anything, is that not significant?
So that would be more of a question on the fact that we said it's an unusual thing to do, right? It's an unusual thing to do. That's a question on Rami Bar Yecheskel's case. So, well, the other way around. So I think that's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara, that question of the Gemara is only on Rami Bar Yecheskel's case. V'homashunahu, right? That's a good point. V'homashunahu is not a question on Rav Yosef's case because that's not unusual, right? For an animal to just, bray wherever it is, Okay, so that's that. Then maybe that is normal. The you're right. That Vahoma Shunahu is a question on the case of the chicken, which is unusual. Yeah, it puts its head inside. But in terms of the damage caused, that shouldn't make a difference, right? The damage has been caused either way.
Yeah, sure, sure. But just don't seem to be like apples versus apples. They just seem to be apples and oranges.
Yeah. They are apples. So that's a great example. Let's use that example. They are apples and oranges. So apples and oranges. I don't mean to analyze your throwaway phrase, but apples and oranges are sometimes incomparable, sometimes very comparable, right? If you're talking about vitamins and you're talking about food, then apples and oranges are very comparable, right? Then you would include them in the same category. At other times, you wouldn't include them in the same, right? They both grow on a tree, they're both edible, right? So you're right, they are different, the animals are different, but we're talking about the key elements that we're drawing out of here is animal making noise, causing damage. So that in that case, they're both... they're both still ticking those boxes, and again so I think you do make a good point, or pointed out that Vahomashunu, and the Gemara is asking Vahomashunu, it's unusual, it's talking about the chicken, and that's why, maybe that's also why it's talking about seeds, right, Bizroni, because I don't know if donkeys and horses go for seeds in quite the same way, but the point is that the chicken put its head inside in order to get seeds. What I thought someone was going to ask, and I don't know, maybe we'll try and find it here, is it's interesting to me that the Gemara automatically assumes, I wonder if anyone asks this, the Gemara seems to automatically assume that the animal causing damage with its voice is considered tsroros, is considered indirect. Everyone seems to be happy with that, right? It's not considered direct damage. It's not like the animal doing it with its body itself. It's doing it with its voice. It's like one step removed. So I think, though, I mean, I don't know, I might have thought that there was room to... to distinguish there, or to suggest that maybe it's a little bit more direct. The truth is, direct and indirect is not great translation of tsroros, but if we see anyone who says that, does Rashi say anything here? Right, I guess when you talk about tsroros, tsroros is what we call kocho. That's the phrase. Kocho means it's strength, right? It's doing something with its force more than strength. It's force. So maybe voice is a good example of its force. Okay. Anyway, no one says that, so I'm happy to go with what seems to be the plain reading of the Gemara. But certainly, it's interesting to me that the Gemara very clearly assumes that its voice is considered that step removed. It's considered its force rather than the animal directly doing something itself. Anyway. Okay. Boi Rav Ashi. So now Rav Ashi has a new question. Yeah, we didn't really answer our question, right? We answered our question. We seem to have left it. Yesh ador l'tzoros, ein ador l'tzoros. We tried a few proofs. We don't have any proofs. We basically leave it aside. Okay, we leave it aside. In which case, I would assume that we don't, right? That would be interesting to look in Shulchan Aruch, actually, which opinion we follow. See if there's an obvious way to find out. No, I don't think there is. Okay. I would assume not. If you don't have a reason to change it to Nezek Shalom, if we don't have an obvious reason why after a few times it should suddenly start paying full damages, I would assume not. But either way, we tried to prove it. We didn't have any good proofs. So we're moving on to another question. Boy Ravashi. Ravashi asks the following question. Yesh shinui letzoros. Is there such a thing as shinui? Is there such a thing as doing it in a different way, as an unusual way? L'ravia nezak, or ein shinui l'tzoros, l'ravia nezak. I.e., usually when an animal does something or when damage is caused in an unusual way, that downgrades it to half, right? Half damages. So you pay half damages if it's unusual. Now, tzoros is already paying half damages. So if you do tzoros in an unusual way, maybe you should go downgrade to quarter damages, right? You should go down to a quarter of the way. And obviously this is only within the world of the Rabbanon, right? Simcha sort of keeps it as half damages the whole time anyway. Fine. So let's say, for example, the animal stamped its feet right on the ground in an unusual way, and then stones flew out as a result of that. It wasn't just as it's walking. It means it was stamping around on its own. Stamping around, not just on its own, sorry, stamping around in a more unusual way. Okay. Tishot le midrova. I seem to remember we had a similar debate, actually. Maybe I'm wrong. Didn't we talk about quarter damages earlier?
I think we talked about the case where you might say that there's an indirect from an indirect.
Oh, yes, you're right, right. So that was, right. That's what we talked about, yeah, okay. Yes, where we were trying to talk about whether Sumchus might ever have a case of Chatzin Nezek. That's a good point. Yeah, that's what we were talking about. Thank you. Okay, so now we're talking about in a case where you do it in an unusual way. So in an unusual way and multiplied by Tzoros, by indirect, so whether you pay quarter damages. So Tifshot Lema de Rova. Maybe let's prove it from Rova. Who's Rova? Where? De Boi Rova. Rova had the following question. And we just talked about it. This was the same question we just had. Yesh ha'adar l'tzaros. Oh, in ha'adar l'tzaros. That was what he was bothered by, right? Can you ever have mu'ot? Miklal de'ein shinui. So the fact that he was bothered by that question implies that there's no such thing as shinui. You can never have a distinction. Because that's the point, right? Because... That's interesting. Okay, I think I'm not sure I fully follow that. The Gemara is basically saying that because he has this question about whether you can ever have muad, that proves that there's no such thing as shinu. You can never have an unusual way, or you would never have quarter damages. The implication being, let's see if Rashi explains. Michlal de in shinu. Okay, so this is now about 8-9 10 lines down in the skinny lines, 9-10 lines down in the skinny lines in Rashi. Michlal de in shinu, right? De I yesh shinu liravia have a chatzin nezek lehaadosan. Right. If you were to have the concept of quarter damages in a case of unusual, then when it became muad, you would be paying half damages. V'amai it's tericha l'rova lemiboy. And then why would you have a question of rova altogether? Vadai ein ha'adar l'shalem nezek shalem. Right. Obviously, for sure, you would never have a muad paying nezek shalem. D'hotomus revia nezek. Because when it's a tam, it would be paying quarter damages, and therefore when it was a muad, it's paying full damage. It would be paying half damages. So you go from a quarter to a half. It seems to be talking about a very specific case. I thought it was a more general question, but it seems to be keeping it much more limited, so far as I can tell. So basically, what the Gemara seems to be asking I guess the other way around, actually. I thought it was asking, in specific cases, can you have shinui, or is asking much more fundamentally, is Tzoros by its very nature unusual? Okay, let's go on in the Gemara. I can't quite phrase it in a way that fits for me personally, but Let's see if the answer helps out. Dilma Rava im Timtzelomar ka'omar. Rava was saying im Timtzelomar. To be honest, I guess the Gemara's answer is what I would have thought initially, so far as I can read it. Dilma Rava im Timtzelomar ka'omar. Rava is saying no. The Gemara is saying Rava is saying is there such a thing as ha'adar letzoros? Right? Maybe if you can you find a case im Timtzelomar ein shinui. Yesh ha'adah, oh ein ha'adah, teku, right? So that's the way I would have read the Gemara. What the Gemara is basically concluding is that's the way I would have read Rava, i.e., it's not a proof either way. Rava saying, can you have muad? You know, does it ever become muad? And then we have a different question of shinui, right? Is they're two separate elements. I'm not sure what exactly. Not sure quite how the Gemara is trying to bring a proof from it. I think that proof I was a little bit puzzled by personally. Or look back, if anyone has a good explanation of it, I'm happy to hear it. Otherwise, try and look at it again afterwards and see what we can figure out. But either way, the Gemara rejects it. Either way, so the conclusion of the Gemara is no, it's not a great proof. And so again, we've left. So we had a question of Rava, can you have muad, right? Which we didn't really answer. Then we had a question of Rav Ashi, do we have quarter damages in the case of shinui tzoros? And again, the Gemara didn't answer it. And we end up with what's called teku. Have we had the word teku before? We've had it in Baba Kama? Oh, we've had it? Okay. All right, good. So teku's a very Gemara phrase. Some say it stands for Tishbi Yitoritz Kushyus Uba'ayos, which literally means Eliyahu HaTishbi, right? I.e. when Eliyahu HaNavi comes in the future, then he'll answer all these questions and help us figure it all out. And I think it's a great phrase because... I mean, I don't love it when you find it in the Gemara because it always leaves you a bit hanging, which is obviously leaves a little bit of an element of frustration. But it's reflective of reality, i.e., there are things in life where you just don't know the answer, right? You can't figure it out, and the Gemara is not the Gemara. Obviously, is the Gemara is not written as a work of conclusion, right? The Gemara is there to help us work through things to understand them better, right? The Shulchan Aruch is clearly written as a work of conclusion, right? It's clearly written to try and tell us the bottom line of what we should do and shouldn't do. And there are principles, what we call Klolei HaSofek. Well, Klolei HaSofek is a little bit different, but Klolei HaPsak, right? There are principles of how you halachically act, right? What do you do when you're not sure, right? I would assume in these cases the fact that we're not sure means that we don't end up doing these things. So you don't have a case of quarter damages in shinui, and you wouldn't have a case of muad, etc. But certainly interesting that you have teku. Have I talked about teku? The difference sometimes sometimes the Gemara has what's called teku, and sometimes it has what's called yehemunach. Has anyone else come across that phrase? Sometimes the Gemara will have a case where it talks about, I remember one at the beginning of Bob Matzia, where the Gemara talks about, I can't remember the exact case, but basically it was talking about a person having certain, amount of money, they come to Beis Din, everybody agrees, I think it's something like $300, everybody agrees that one person says, you owe me 200, the other person says you owe me 100, I only owe you 100, and basically of the 300, 100 for sure belongs to A, 100 for sure belongs to B, and the last 100 is unclear. So there the Gemara says, Yehemunach ad sheyavo Eliyahu. So that 100, it basically goes in Beis Din or somewhere, I'm going to go somewhere else, nobody gets it, and it will be there until Eliyahu HaNavi comes and says who it belongs to. So... So very interesting, what's the difference, right? Teku, sometimes the Gemara says teku, sometimes yehemunach ad sheyavo Eliyahu, right? Firstly, if teku means tishbi, taretz kushus wise, then I'm talking about the same fellow, right? Eliyahu HaTishbi is Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi, right? We all know that from the song. So what's the difference between the two? So I heard a very interesting and quite fundamental answer, actually, that... Yes, one day, please God, Eliyahu HaNavi will come, etc., and you have Mashiach and all those times and all those sorts of things. But there's a difference, there's still a fundamental difference between two different types of doubts that we have, and they're going to be solved in two fundamentally different ways. Eliyahu Hanavi, a prophet, right? A prophet who was receiving divine. It's much more mystical, right? It's God sort of pointing out that this is the way the world is, right? This is the way the world is, i.e., we don't know who this money belongs to, and Eliyahu Hanavi comes along and uses prophecy and says this money really does belong to this one or does belong to that one, i.e. this one's lying, this one says he took it, and this one says it belongs to him, this one's lying, this one's not, and now we know because God has given us that answer, right? Eliyahu HaTishbi is in a sense not in his role as a prophet. It's not coming from God. Why? Because what do we say? We have a very famous, actually, also Gemara in Bava Metzia, later on in Bava Metzia, famous phrase what we call Torah lo b'shamayim hi, right? That once God has given the Torah to us, then in a sense it's in the realm of human beings, and it's up to us as Torah scholars to figure it out. So in that case, Tishbi Yitoritz Kushe Zabayis is when you have a halachic concept, when you have a conceptual debate, and someone will have to solve it at some point, that is going to have to be solved by Eliyahu as a Talmud Chacham, as it were, right? As a Torah scholar, not as a prophet, not with God whispering in his ear, but with him basically coming to say, this is how it should be, that's not how it should be, right, etc. So it's a very interesting difference between the two. I always found that a very fascinating distinction to draw, because again, when we're talking about these the concepts themselves, that you need to solve in the realm of halacha. When you're talking about, everyone agree, you know, the other case, like in Bava Metzia, where the money was taken, everybody agrees, if you took the money, it belongs to the other guy, it's not yours. We just don't know whether you did or whether you didn't. We can't figure that out. We just don't have enough evidence. So there we say, Yehimunach HaChiyahu Eliyahu. Okay, so that's the difference between the two. Interesting. All right. Anyway. So we had one teiku. We're going to have another teiku. I think the Gemara often does this. Once we're already... you know, a little bit frustrated with leaving you hanging, we'll throw in a few others. Once you're already there. So I think we're going to have at least two more teikus in the next series of Gemara. I'm not sure we'll get to the second one today, but we'll definitely get to the first one. Boy, Rav Ashi, we've got another quick teiku. Boy, Rav Ashi, Rashi wants to know as follows: Kach kochel asumchos. We did have I think we had this question already, but kach kochel asumchos. This is what David was referencing earlier. If you have two steps removed, right? Kach kochel, like we talked about before, the rope, right? The animal nibbled at the rope, and then the rope fell, and the shard of, you know, and the bucket broke, and the shard of pottery or whatever it was, the utensil broke, and that shard went out and broke something else. So then, lasumchos kekochadomi ola, right? According to sumchos, is that kekochadomi, or is it no? Or would sumchos agree that there's chatzi nezek in that case? Even though usually he says you pay full damages for kocha, then in that case, maybe even Sumchas would agree that you pay half damages. So, mi gomir halacha umokila b'kach kocha, right? Is it possible for Sumchas to have, right? We talked about Sumchas being a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, something that's received, right? Mi gomir halacha or hilchas al gemirila, which again we explained, not everybody says is halacha l'moshe m'sinai. But either way, it seems to be a tradition, right? Sumchas is getting something as a tradition. Migomir halacha umoki la b'kach kocho, right? Is it possible to have, not possible? Did he receive this, you know, as part of his opinion on kocho, on tsroros, that you pay full damages? Is there such a thing as kach kocho, i.e. two steps removed? Odilma lo gomer halacha klal, right? It's not, he never received such a thing, it's no such tradition, and therefore again, you're going to be paying full damages as usual. So again, the Gemara says teiku, right? Teiku, we don't know the answer to that question. Again, that teiku is less relevant halachically, because we're not even following the opinion of Sumchas, right? We follow the opinion of the Rabbanon, so that's not going to affect us practically per se. Okay, either way, let's go on with the Gemara. Hoysa mevaetes. Well, no, we've still got plenty of time. Okay, so it's a good place to stop. Maybe we'll start again here if we don't get to another good stopping place. But either way, hoysa mevaetes. Let's say the Gemara was just the Gemara. Let's say the animal, the behema, was kicking, right? Mava'etes. Oshah Yitzroros Menatzin Mitachas Ragleha, or these stones were shooting out from under its feet. Veshovrais Akelim, and it broke utensils. Meshalim Chatzin Nezek. Okay, pays half damages. Again, clearly following the opinion of the Rabbanon. Iboi Lahu, the Gemara asks as follows, wants to know the following question. We're unsure. Heichi Ko'omar. Right, what exactly are we being told over here? Hoysam eva'etes, right? Does it mean that it was stamping on utensils? Vehizika bevi'uta, right? And it caused damage to the utensil as it was stepping. Otsroros ka'urchaihu, right? Or does this mean that it's a regular case of tsroros, and therefore you pay half damages, right? I.e., is it a case? Basically, the question is it a case of keren? Is it a case of the animal stamping on a utensil intentionally, which is unusual? It's weird for an animal to sort of charge at the utensil or choose to stamp on it, and therefore it's a case of keren. That's why it's paying half damages. Or does it mean that it was going as normal? Tsroros korachayu. It's a regular case of tsroros. I.e., it was walking along and the stones shot out, and it pays half damages because of that. Shalom chatzinezik. Rabbonon hi. Odilma hoysam avaetes vehiziko beviuta. Right. That's the same option. Right. Does it mean paying half damages keren and paying half damages tsroros? Rabbonon hi. O dilma, or as follows. Hoysam mevaetes vehiziko beviuta. It was stamping and it caused damage as it was stamping. O tsroros machmas biut, or i.e. and because of that damage, because it stamped on something and broke the utensil, the shards flew out and then caused damages over there. Meshalem chatzinezek, you pay half damages. Hoki urche meshalem nezek shalem umani hi. Umani sumchasi. And in the normal case, it's only because he did it in an unusual way that you're paying half damages. And really, we're following the opinion of Sumchas over here, who says in a normal case you would pay full damages. Okay, so it's a little bit involved, but what I think the Gemara is saying is as follows: basically, are you taking this as one case? Are you saying basically you're paying full half damages in both cases, right? Hoysam of etes, o shahoy tsroros menatzin, then you pay your half damages. Or are you saying hoysam of etes, and then you pay, and i.e. it stamps on it and cause damage, and seemingly you pay full damages for, or I guess you would still pay half damages of that if that's keren. But the point is then, because it's unusual, then when the, I think the question is on the second case, basically. The second case of the tsroros that are shooting out. Does that mean it's just a regular case of tsroros, right? I.e. the stones are shooting out as the animal's walking normally, and therefore we're following the opinion of the Rabbanon. Or does it mean, no, that the stones that are shooting out, or whatever is shot out in order to cause damage, is as a result of the animal acting in this unusual way? Because it's acting in this unusual way, in this strange way, so that's why it's paying half damages, i.e. we're working within the world of Sumchus. Sumchus, who usually would say you pay full damages, but because it's unusual, you're paying half damages. I'm not sure what the... Okay, I guess we'll see why that makes a difference, which world we're living in. But the point is, we have this case, and the Gemara points out that you could interpret it differently. You could either interpret it as following the Rabbanon's opinion, and it's more of a usual case, or it's following Simchus's opinion, and the reason why you're paying half damages here is because it's an unusual case. Toshima, let's bring a proof. Misefa, from the end. Darsa alakli, the end says darsa alakli, if it's stamped on the or it's stepped on a utensil, v'shavarta, right, and broke it, v'nofal hashever al kli acher v'shavro, and then that shard fell, or a shard then fell onto another utensil and broke that, al arishon mishalem nezek shalim. We've said we've seen a similar thing in the past. On the first utensil you pay full damages, v'al ha'acharon Meshalim v'al acharon chatzi nezek, right? And on the second one you pay half damages because it's tsroros. V'is sumchus, if this is the opinion of sumchus, if we've tried to interpret this according to sumchus, mi'is lechadzi nezek, he doesn't believe that you will pay half damages in that case. That is a classic case of tsroros, right? That is a classic case of tsroros, and therefore that would not fit with sumchus's opinion. Sounds much, much more like the rabbana. V'chim tema, and if you want to suggest that maybe we'll try and push this proof off, it's not such a good proof. Rishon lehatoza, sheni lehatoza, i.e. So this is again, we're going back. It's funny because all these tekus that we've had, we're going back to resurrect them almost, right? Rishon lehatoza. No, maybe we'll say that the following, that it's talking about the following. Rishon lahatoza, i.e. the first case is talking about the first throros, right? The first indirect damage caused. It doesn't mean the animal stepped on the utensil directly. It means the animal broke the utensil by walking and the stone flew out. So Rishon lahatoza, that's one step removed. Then Sheni lahatoza, the second part where you pay half damages is indirect, it's two levels of indirectness, i.e. the first utensil was broken by a stone, the second utensil was broken by the first utensil. And what are we saying? We're saying shiny leila sumchus. It is different for sumchus. Why? Ben kocho lekoach kocho. I.e. sumchus does have a concept of half damages when you have it two steps removed. Elahoda boi Rav Ashi. We already had this question. This was Rav Ashi's question, which we left as a teiku earlier. Koach kocho lesumchus, koach kokocho domi olav, kokocho domi tifshet le, the lav kokocho domi. Right, we tried to prove it, we didn't manage to prove it. He should have proved it from the end of our Mishnah. Right, he should have proved it from the end of our Mishnah. So Rav Ashi karabonon mokile. Okay, we're really reaching the end of the time, but it's actually... Let's just finish this part. Sorry, we'll get to another teiku, actually. I think it's helpful maybe just to finish off this last part. Okay, Rav Ashi karabonan mokile. So we basically conclude and say, no. Rav Ashi just doesn't believe that that's talking about Sumchus. It's not talking about the world of Sumchus. If it would have been within the world of Sumchus, that might have been a good proof, right? Might have been a good proof for Rav Ashi. But Rav Ashi karabonan mokile uboila hochi. And so he was asking as follows. If it was stamping around, if it was kicking, and it caused damage while it was kicking. Oh, tsroros korchaihu, or a regular case of tsroros, as it's walking normally, the stones shoot out and cause damage. Then chatzin ezek, you pay half damages in the first case because of keren, and in the second case because of tsroros. Homachmas biut. Oh, I've thrown in a bit too much. Sorry. Homachmas biut. If it would have been because of kicking, because of stamping, because of intentional damage, then revia nezek, right? Then you would pay a quarter damage because it's unusual and it's a case of tsuros. V'yesh shinui, and there is such a concept of unusual type of tsuros. O dilma, or perhaps hoysam of etes v'hiziko b'vyuta, right? Again, this is basically what we said earlier. Hoysam of etes v'hiziko b'vyuta, or perhaps we'll say that no. What it means is that they're two separate things. It was stamping and it caused damage while it was stamping. Otsroros machmas biut chatzinezek, and tsroros that came out because of that still only pay half damages. Ve'ein shinui, there's no such thing as shinui. Letsroros teiku, again the Gemara concludes with a teiku. I think it gets a little bit, as I say, all these Gemaras can get a little bit involved trying to follow the back and forth of the logic. But basically, the Gemara is trying to prove all of this has been basically again surrounding these two basic issues. Do you have yesh ha'adot al-tzoros, ein ha'adot al-tzoros? Can it ever be upgraded after multiple times? And separately to that, we've had a separate question: can you have shinui b'tzoros? Right? Can you do it in an unusual way? Let's say you do it in the animal stamps on it and then causes damage as a result of that. So would that count or not? And again, as we've seen now three times, all these tekus, we don't really have a good answer. You can try and we've tried to sort of take apart all these braises, right? We've gone through all the different types of all these cases that we can find that sound similar to that, that seem to have a debate that might shed light on it, etc. And no matter which way we slice them, they're not really pushing us to come to a conclusion on this point. So we're going to end with, we'll end today with that teiku. I actually think we still have one more at least to go. So let's but we'll return to that. We'll return to that one next time. Okay? Good place to stop. Okay, second wide line. So we'll start again from that second.